This is Degaris, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is two, three-page essays in the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 772, entitled, It's in Women's Self-Interest to Become Bi-Conscious. Description. There are two main advantages for women to become bi-conscious. The first is personal. For individual women, that is, they are more likely to get and to keep a boyfriend as bi-conscious feminists than as monoconscious, misandrous, male-dumping feminazis who are repulsive to men, who are left rotting on the shelf. The second main advantage is, as a sex, as half the human population, with most women bi-conscious, humanity will be a lot more likely to survive, as this flyer shows. And now, the flyer itself. It's in women's self-interest to become bi-conscious, by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. This flyer argues that it's very much in women's self-interest to become bi-conscious for two main reasons. One is it's in an individual woman's self-interest, and two, it's in women's self-interest as a whole, since women are half of humanity. Why is it in an individual woman's self-interest to become bi-conscious, that is, to learn some masculine ideas, so that by definition she has had both her feminist and her masculine consciousnesses raised, that she has learned that women oppress men too, and in fact far worse, since many of women's gender crimes against men are horrible, lasting decades, that make them a lot more serious than the relatively minor gender crimes that men commit against women? An individual woman who is monoconscious will be much less likely to have and to keep a boyfriend. So if she wants to have a kid, she'll have to pay for it herself, which means that when the baby is small, she will have to be out of the house working to pay for some nanny to look after her kid, which rather spoils the whole point of having the kid in the first place. That is, having the enjoyment of a mother raising her child, especially when it is small, and the mother-child bond is so strong, when that bonding is able to take place. But if the mother is out at work, and the bonding between the baby is being made with the nanny, then why did the mother have the kid in the first place? To avoid this situation, most young women are aware that it's very much in their self-interest to have some man in their romantic circle who can help pay for the couple to have a kid, so that she can be at home when the baby is very small, so that the maternal bond between mother and child can take place. But feminism, monoconscious feminism, has so poisoned the minds of most young women that two-thirds of young men in countries such as the US and South Korea don't even date young women, claiming that young women are undateable due to being made so misandrous by six decades of a monoconscious feminist gender political monopoly. Men don't want relationships with women who are misandrous, male-dumping, feminazi cunts, and avoid them like the plague, preferring to live the MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W, men going their own way, lifestyle of avoiding marriage, rejecting paternity, and spending their money on themselves. Most young men in Western and Far Eastern countries are today aware of the toxicity of the divorce courts for men, where one father in four gets butchered in the feminist-controlled divorce court system, losing custody of his kids with a 90% probability in many countries, losing half his stuff and wealth to his divorcing ex-wife, He'll be forced to make child payments to his kids, whom he is barely allowed to see. And if his wife is a real fluffy, in brackets, a traditional woman who expects to live off the money and labour of a man for decades of his life, thus manslaving him for decades, and from one father in four, divorce raping him, destroying his life, close brackets. She will continue to parasite off him after the divorce the way she did before the divorce. Masculus, by conscious masculus, see monoconscious feminists as one of their two main enemy groups, the other being fluffies, who masculus see as manslaving, divorce raping vermin. Masculus see monoconscious feminists as hypocrites and geociders. Masculus see feminists, monoconscious feminists, as hypocrites, because monoconscious feminists feel they have the right to lash out publicly against the gender crimes that men commit against women. When to masculus, women commit far worse gender crimes against men. To masculus, the hypocrisy of monoconscious feminists makes them hateable. Far worse is that the misandry of young women has caused two-thirds of young men in several countries to not even date them, thus crashing the birth rate and in time wiping out whole populations, hence geocide, which is a far more serious gender crime, not just against men, but against humanity as a whole, wiping it out. A young woman who is a strong monoconscious feminist will feel perfectly justified in her misandry. She will be filled with a burning sense of injustice taught her by monoconscious feminism, that gender oppression is a one-way street. The only gender politics she has heard of is feminist. She knows nothing of masculism, so does not have her anger against men for the gender crimes that men commit against women cancelled by a corresponding and oppositely directed female masculine anger at women for the gender crimes that women commit against men. A monoconscious feminist is a pain in the ass for a man to be with. She will be surly, suspicious, looking out the whole time for his male chauvinism, his misogynistic attitudes, etc. Her monoconsciousness will make her repulsive to be with for a man, and even more repulsive if the man is a biconscious masculist who will not tolerate her monoconscious hypocrisy and will drop her on the spot the moment he becomes aware of her suffocating monoconsciousness and will just walk away from her, letting her rot on the shelf, dash, manless, and hence loveless, sexless, babyless, lonely, miserable, utterly rejected both socially and sexually, forced into a slow death due to her monoconscious feminist beliefs. A biconscious feminist woman, on the other hand, is a very different kettle of fish. She is, in capital letters, much nicer for a man to be with, because she has lost her monoconscious feminazi bitchiness, her misandry. She's much more likely to be the kind of woman that biconscious masculists prefer to have as girlfriends, that is, SNURFs, that's S, capital N-U-R, capital F-S, that is, slim, nutritive, FIPS. A FIP woman is a financially independent person who will not manslave and divorce rape a man, who is bothered to obtain a career-competent education at high school and college, so it can be a FIP as an adult, and not a fluffy who by definition expects to leech off the money and labour of a man for decades of his life. Masculists are abolitionists who see man's slavery as literally 1,000 times worse than was Negro slavery, given the numbers. There were several million Negro slaves in the slave period in the US, and there are today several billion man slaves in the world. Masculists place a powerful moral pressure on women to get off their fat, parasitic asses and FIP up, that is, become FIPs, so that they don't manslave and divorce rape men. Masculists are out to radically change, to radically restructure society via the FIPing of women, the creation of a FIP society, in which both sexes, especially girls, are socialized and educated to be FIPs, so they pull their financial weight equally with men in sharing the burden of earning the living. When the children are small, the Maskers propose the MCT for women, for society, which for a woman, MCT is mother career timeline, which for a woman with a master's degree in a career competent field, in brackets, that is one for which the economy pays well, for example, a STEM field, or one of the professions, for example, dentistry, medicine, architecture, law, etc., goes as follows. She gets her master's at 23 and works in her career competent profession for 3 years, in which time she marries and has her first kid at 26 and her second at 28, in brackets, to fulfill her civic duty to have two kids so that the population does not die out. She has her kids in her 20s to avoid the risk of infertility that 10% of women are starting to have by the age of 30. When her second kid is 4 years old and off to kindergarten, she goes back to her chosen profession so as not to be a fluffy of her husband. During 6 years she's at home raising the two kids, she gets a maternity wage from the government, equal to the salary she got during the 3 years she was working. This MCT is based on at least two important principles, that the responsibility of raising the next generation, in brackets, so that humanity does not get wiped out, rests on the whole of society, not just the parents. So it is the taxpayers who foot the bill for the MCT, which will be very expensive. The other important principle is that mothers should not be financially penalised for staying at home to raise very small children. This hefty MCT bill will have to be paid, otherwise humanity wipes itself out, because millions of women argue that if they stop their careers, that is, if they stop earning good money by raising children at home, then their family income halves, which is seen by many couples as just too great a sacrifice. So they choose to remain childless. This is the end of part one.